Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how's your self-care going? What grade would you give yourself? I wonder how many A's there are out there. Well, anyway, and maybe if there are, maybe we're deluding ourselves. So to help us understand self-care a little deeper, is a deep person who I love to talk with, who has been on the show many times and has great insight. So we're all ears for Barbara Berger. Barbara, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be here from across the ocean.
Yeah, that's right. You're in Copenhagen.
Wonderful Copenhagen.
Well, it feels like it's probably much more wonderful than New York, but anyway.
New York is pretty wonderful too. I went to school in New York and spent many, many happy days in New York. So, my family's from New York.
Yeah. And now we're at a time where we need to go deep into self-care and make sure that we're doing a good enough job, not only for ourselves, but for others and with others and from others. Mm. And so there's so much, and with the lockdown, it's even much harder to do that.
Yes. I would like to say that where I'm coming from in this discussion, I'm a coach and a therapist. And even though we're on lockdown, I still talk to very many people every day. I have lots of clients, and in fact, I have more clients now that we're at lockdown, but it's only Zoom, Skype, telephone, but still. And I would just like to say my starting point for this discussion is I have noticed that everybody who comes to me, whatever their issues were to begin with, they're worse. So this lockdown, self-isolation, or being so isolated, whatever issues people have, they get triggered more. So that's why I think it's so important that we try to talk about how can we take better care of ourselves in these really challenging times.
Right, and there are so many different ways that we can take care of ourselves.
Yes, yes.
And it's not necessarily simple and easy to do. We don't have 1, 2, 3, because we're all different also, and we all have to care for ourselves in different ways.
That's true. That's true. But I think that one of the things that I've noticed that helps everybody in general, and that's what I would say, I call my approach getting real, to have more realistic expectations to our life situation, whatever that is, to have more realistic expectations to ourselves and to our fellow human beings, our partner, our family, because people are, anyway, the people who come to me, they have such high goals. It's not that they don't have good intentions and they want to be so perfect, but they're often beating themselves up because they have an unrealistic idea of what it is they can actually do in this present situation and how they should feel.
But does that diminish ambition?
No, not at all. I'm saying that what I think the most important thing here is we have to be a little bit more realistic about what it is we can actually do and what it is that we can't do or that we don't have control of. I always say, I'm sure you're familiar with, and our listeners are too, the serenity prayer. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think for most of the people I talk about, it's the wisdom to know the difference between what they cannot change and what they can change, what it is they can actually work on.
Well, so many of us are in different positions in life because of the current conditions that many people are in more desperate need of survival. And many people are flourishing. Even though there's a lockdown, there are people who have others in their lives that they can be in person with. And many don't. There are many
who
are isolated.
I mean, I noticed that the isolation, I have quite a few even I have quite a few young people who are going to university or whatever, and this online learning and being so isolated because they live in a dormitory or whatever their situation is, where they're not allowed to be with their friends. I mean, their usual coping strategies have been, you know, locked out. So they can't socialize, they can't date, they can't. And I mean, some of these young kids who are just so wonderful and so lovely and so intelligent, some of them go in more or less major meltdown because they're so unprepared for this situation. I mean, my heart really goes out to them. So I try to help them soothe themselves and not take it so personally anyway. So when you're that young, they often take it very personally, like, why am I so feeling so lonely? I should be better able to cope with the situation. And I noticed that when I talk to them about, it's not their fault. This is something this pandemic obviously is beyond our control. I mean, that's right. Obvious.
It's driving people so within themselves, and yet a lot of people don't know how to go within themselves. They don't know what to look at. They don't understand themselves. There's no perspective, because often we learn about ourselves from our social interactions. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that, except online, which isn't quite the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, because it's not group schmoozing and, you know, bouncing off of each other the same way. No. And so there's so much about ourselves that people need to identify that they don't have the means to do that.
Yeah. It's very challenging for many, many reasons, that being one of them. But I mean, it's also some people, again, getting real people are different. Some people actually enjoy being with themselves more. I have some clients who also...
They're natural hermits.
Exactly. That the ones that would actually don't have to go to work and sit at home and work and don't have to socialize so much. I actually have some clients too who find it a great sense of relief,
right?
Because they're shy, they're not very outgoing. So there are some of those too, but I would say the majority, I mean, I don't know how the lockdown compares between the US and here in Europe, but here in Europe, it's very strict right now. In Denmark, where I live, the only thing that's open are the food stores and the pharmacies. Everything else is closed. And you're only supposed to be with your bubble of five people maximum.
Wow, no, we don't have that.
Okay, so that means for these young kids, for the younger ones, especially who are in the school situations and all, five people is like, you know, that's so little compared to their usual out and about and, you know, going to parties and going to, so they're really struggling.
Right. Yeah, here it's much different. We have outdoor restaurants that actually are like tents that are heated and have tables and...
Okay, and so that's still allowed.
The restaurant and clothing stores and all kinds of places that aren't essential necessarily, that are still in business. So
it's all closed in Europe right now, everything.
Right, but you have also governments that are there for managing the fallout from that.
Yes, and that's the big difference. It's true.
Right, so there's not going to be that many bankruptcies and people in poverty.
It's shocking to hear what's going on in the United States. I mean, it's just amazing. Right.
So it's shocking that you have such a lockdown, but it's not as worrisome as if it were locked down, and it had been last year, almost a year ago, it was that way, and yet we couldn't survive it because the government doesn't support the people the same way we do in Europe.
I do understand that. Breaks my heart.
Right.
The Scandinavian model where I live is much more the government, it's a country where we have universal health care, all the Scandinavian countries, and we have universal free education, as many of the things that are not available, and we have a welfare system. So people who are out of work, and now they're also coming with special compensations for the ones who are, all these businesses and restaurants and hairdressers and everybody who's forced to be closed, they also get compensation. So it's a very much more comprehensive universal system that helps
we have
everyone.
A very divided country.
I know.
And it's very racial and political in ways that racially, basically, the white guys don't want to give anything to anyone else. And so politically they have power and have created a country where if you do anything for anyone else, it's called socialism or communism and you're a bad guy. And Europe is very socialistic. And people don't realize
that. Yeah, I mean, it's also a misunderstanding because it's not socialism in the sense that it's a capitalist society and it's a democratic society. We have voting and parties and so on. It's just that the concept, but it's not socialism like you're talking about communism.
No, let's call it humanitarianism.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Really, and that's really what it is. It's like take care of your fellow human beings in ways that are compassionate and fair. And
well, I know when I first came to Scandinavia after I had run away from home in the 60s because of the Vietnam War, and we ended up getting political asylum actually in Sweden. So I lived in Sweden before I moved to Denmark. I remember that I was just so shocked at the system when I came here that this universal health care and universal free education. I thought, wow, these are all the things that we were, the liberals in America, that we were fighting for. It was like I had died and gone to heaven. It was actually happening here. So
I think all our listeners are going to move to Scandinavia. But still, you're working, with people in trouble because so that's really what we're concerned about. Is how this is driving people into not only isolation, but places in themselves that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
And misunderstandings about themselves that they've never worked on before.
Well, I think there's two things that I could probably add of value to this discussion. The one is I always work with people with a technique I call letting go. And this is about that when we have these unpleasant, negative, or whatever word we want to use, emotions, as you say, that we're not used to, we're in this situation, we have more contact with ourselves, though many of us may not want that. And also because of the situation, you could say old energy or old trauma or whatever you want to call it gets triggered in one. And then we don't have our usual coping strategies that we're going to run out and party, or we're going to go visit our friends, or we're going to go shopping, or we're going to go out eating. So we're stuck with ourselves and we're stuck with these emotions. And so the technique that I teach all of my clients, which is very successful, I must say, so that's why I would like to share it. Instead of being afraid of the negative emotions, and instead of trying to suppress them, it's better to understand that, yeah, they're unpleasant, but they're not dangerous. And that if you allow the energy to come out, if you can be with it, it will dissipate and you will feel better. Whereas if you hold it in and try to suppress it, it actually builds up more and more power. So you feel worse because energy.
What are we bringing out?
What?
What are we bringing out?
Yeah, well, let me just read you this mechanism of letting go. It's the technique that I use for everyone. It's just one paragraph, okay?
Sure.
And this is from a book called Letting Go by David Hawkins, who is one of my great teachers. I highly recommend his books. So this is called the mechanism of letting go. Letting go involves being aware of a feeling, letting it come up, staying with it and letting it run its course without wanting to make it different or do anything about it. It simply means to let the feeling be there and to focus on letting out the energy behind it. The first step is to allow yourself to have the feeling without resisting it, without venting, without fearing it, without condemning it, or without moralizing about it. It means to drop all judgment and to see that it is just a feeling. The technique is to be with the feeling and surrender all efforts to modify it in any way. Let go of wanting to resist the feeling. It is resistance that keeps the feeling going. When you give up resisting or trying to modify a feeling, it will shift to the next feeling and be accompanied by a lighter sensation. A feeling that is not resisted will disappear as the energy behind it dissipates.
All right, and I guess for each person, it would be good to hear examples of these kinds of feelings that people have. And you know, because I'm sure there are a lot of people go, yeah, but you're not talking about my feelings, because my feelings are different. You know,
I'm talking about all feelings.
I know, but people will say that, you know, nobody knows how bad their feelings are.
Well, actually, before the lockdown, when people still came to my office, I have also like a meditation mat where people actually, I let them lie down and I guide them through this exercise. And we're talking about, it can be very negative emotions, fear, anger. People can be very sad. They can feel, I mean, now I have discovered, since I don't see people, they don't come here anymore, I have found out how I can guide them actually when they're home, either on the phone or on Zoom or Skype, where I get them to lay down anyway, and we turn the lights down, and then I guide them through this. And people have really interesting experiences. And we're talking about some people who just cry their hearts out. And then we have other people who feel very angry, or they have, you know, they have energy. You could say they have energy in the heart area, the chest area, or in the solar plexus. They have these different areas of throat. So I help them sort of localize it and then try to release it. And my experience with people is that they all feel better, much better. And I do it 10, 15 minutes with a person.
Good, good. And that also trains them how to do that often.
To do it on their own, exactly. I call my exercise emotional decompression. In other words, I always say to people when we start out, it's like when you feel really like shit, excuse my French, but when you feel really lousy, it's like, and you're holding it in all the time. I say it's kind of like a pressure cooker, you know, with the lid closed tight. And that when we do this emotional decompression, it's like, you know, opening the valve on the top of a pressure cooker and the steam goes. So I try to give people this image of, instead of worrying so much about what is it that I'm feeling and putting a label on it, you know, that it's anger or sorrow or fear or disappointment. We can put all those names on it. That's fine if it helps people, but it's more when you actually just realize that it's different kinds of energy and that this energy wants to be released. That seems to help people allow themselves to get in touch with how they actually feel.
Right, there's so much resistance that people have to
exactly feeling. Exactly.
And so there's a lot that has to do with being humble about ourselves, and and also, you know, there are a lot of people say, well, with all this stuff, how could I be loving myself? I must not love myself. But I always tell people it's because they love themselves that they're so unhappy about themselves. So it's not like, you know, they don't love themselves, they just don't approve of a lot of things, and don't approve of their feelings. So a lot of it is.
Yeah, but I would say also the other part of that equation, which I do talk to people a lot about, is that we have to understand the basic principle of human evolution, that we're all evolving, that we're all souls on this journey. So wherever you are on the journey, there's no perfect, I mean, it's all, you know, like we're making this up as we go along and we're learning as we go along. And So there's no end station. This incarnation, you have certain tasks or certain learning, and next time you'll come back and you'll get. So this perfectionism that I should be so perfect, it's just a total waste of your time.
Right. So that's where humility comes into this. Yes. But also, we should also address self-forgiveness too,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we blame ourselves too much for our inadequacies.
Yeah, but again, if you combine what I just said, if we understand that we're all evolving.
Yes. Then we can do that.
Exactly. And then, but also the other thing is, if you look back, sometimes when I look back, I think, oh my God, I could have done that so much better with what I know today. But you have to understand that whatever happened in the past, the level of consciousness and awareness that you had then was like...
I tell myself that all the time. What did I know then? I was...
Exactly.
I was unaware.
So this over-responsible perfectionism and moral scrupulosity, those are the three culprits I always say. Overly responsible... perfectionism, I should have known better, all that stuff,
right.
And moral scrupulosity, oh my God, you know, I wasn't completely perfect in that situation. It's like, kill me now, you know?
No, I love this. This is so valuable, Barbara. You know, we're really understanding how to live more in grace with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something... The idea of grace and equanimity are something that we should be mindful about.
I agree. Kindness. I mean, yeah. Just basic human kindness.
Right. And that's a good understanding, is that how would we deal with others who are going through, we would be compassionate and kind to them and loving and caring. But are we doing that for ourselves enough?
It takes practice. It takes really asking yourself that question. And I think the way you frame it is very, very important. You know, like if you think about a dear friend or a child or somebody you know, and they're having difficulties, and you do automatically, you get that heartfelt feeling for that person. Yeah. And as you say, couldn't we, you know, point it towards ourselves a little bit more? And it's right. Really nice to do that, actually.
Right, we learn how to love ourselves, hug ourselves.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to look in the mirror and say, I love you. You know, it's, there are so many ways that we are struggling with that I'm glad that, you know, we can talk with you and help understand that, you know, you don't have to look in the mirror and be perfect. You know, you don't have to look in the mirror and say, I can't love you because you're not perfect.
Quite the contrary. I love you because you're human. We have to understand the innocence of consciousness. I mean, we have these programs that we get in from our family and society and all these belief systems that are major, major screwing us up, all of us. And that the process of psychological maturity and spiritual awakening, or whatever you want to call it, is that we become more and more self-aware, and we can distinguish between what is, you know, appropriate and what is not appropriate.
Right. And
what
is? We started off with you saying right away that our self expectations are too high.
Absolutely, driving us all crazy.
It's amazing what we do expect, even every moment that we disappoint ourselves with.
Yeah, but I always say that and now I've written a new book that's not out yet in English, where I discuss all of the things we're talking about now. But I think that one of the keys to what we're talking about now is what I call moderation. And by moderation, I mean having a more realistic assessment of the human condition and who we are, and all the challenges that we're faced with, and what is it that we realistically can do in this now moment? I mean, that's really the only question. What is the most appropriate? Do I have good intentions? Am I treating my fellow human beings with respect? Am I trying to make a contribution wherever I find myself? And that, all of that it's like when you can say yes to that, I'm doing the best that I can with the cards I've been dealing, then give yourself a break.
Right.
You know?
And that's why we should, you know, learn about ourselves as much as we can to realize how, you know, imperfectly perfect we are, and to know the nature of our personality and be able to forgive it and love it and have compassion for it.
Yeah.
So we're getting toward the end of the show, and as always, you're wonderful.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Well, I let me just finish up by saying that if you go to my website, I have a free ebook, which is called The Mental Laws, Understanding the Way the Mind Works, which could be valuable information in these challenging times. Because one of the things that we can do something about is practice the focus of our attention, which is what this small ebook is about. In other words, you're the only thinker in your mind. And so you can work on whoever you are, wherever you are, me too, you too, Peter, that to be more aware of what we are focusing our attention on, because whatever we focus our attention on, it grows in our experience. And you can say, whether it's lockdown or not lockdown, whether it's a good marriage or not such a good marriage, whether it's a great job or not such a great job, we always have a choice as to what is our focus in this situation. Are we going to focus on everything that we think is lousy, that's going wrong, that we don't like? And then we're putting energy into that. Or are we going to focus on the potential, the possibilities, what we can do something about, what's realistic? And that's much better energy. So I would like to end and say that that's one of the things that we can do for ourselves.
That's wonderful, Barbara Berger. And where can people find this ebook and you and et cetera?
At the website is BEAMTEAM, BEAMTEAM.com. And all my many books are also available on Amazon in the U.S.
That's great. And we've had radio shows about them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All of them, yeah. The Road to Power, The Awakening Human Being. So you can find them on our website, beamteam.com, and you can get the free ebook, The Mental Laws, on. It says it right on the front page, how to get it. Okay.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for
being
back on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.